You know, I am very suspicious of so-called magic bullets, but aloe vera approaches it, definitely.
It's pretty magical stuff. Jane writes in, when I yawn and stretch, I often feel sensation moving through parts of my body and will follow it, will shake and jerk along with it. Is this releasing something stored in the body?
Yes, yes, and yes. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, let it go. The body is called streaming, and you will get that kind of resistance. And where your body, if you bend in certain positions and you start shaking, that's where the resistance is, and that's where you want to go, and that's the part you want to stabilize. Much of what we call palsy and these diseases of shaking diseases, they can be eliminated simply by yawning.
What do you think's at the core of these? I was talking the other day that, God love her, I think Linda Ronstadt suffers from what they call Parkinson, and she can't sing anymore. Oh. And, you know, these things like, I think Katharine Hepburn had it too. What is that, though? Do you have a theory on the cause of this Parkinson stuff when the body shakes like that?
Yellow fat disease, and I have accumulated lots of evidence in
yellow fat disease series of books.
Yeah.
The dreaded yellow fat, right?
Without yellow fat and lipofuscin, you're not going to get it. Now, there's other things that contribute to it, like iron and, again, the pituitary hormone, the luteinizing hormone, so testosterone can help. But there have been people who have done an anti-yellow fat disease diet and have come out of Alzheimer's disease. Even baking soda can bring a person out of it. They brought them out of stroke victims by simply taking a teaspoon of baking soda or drinking carbonated beverages. You have to be careful with those for other side effects, but if a person has one of those diseases, then why not do the baking soda? It's certainly better than the expensive drugs, which do not work. The one they have now is an anticholinergic, and it actually causes more Parkinson's disease. And so the pharmaceutical company is waiting for the patent to run out, giving a drug they know is counterproductive, and then they're going to come out with a cholinergic or the exact opposite of the drug they have now.
What is an anti-yellow fat diet?
Well, anti-yellow fat disease would be anything that opposes serotonin, nitric oxide, estrogen, luteinizing hormone, cortisol, all of those so-called glucagon, all those so-called negative hormones that we have in our body. And we think of many of them as positive, and the medical profession has convinced us. Serotonin is supposed to be calming for you? Then how come it's in a hornet's sting, and most of the poisonous animals on this earth have serotonin in it that causes the pain? Stinging nettle. What causes the pain? Serotonin. Relax me? I think not.
So what are people taking to try to get more serotonin to calm them that doesn't work?
Well, they take the serotonin blockers, serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Oh, you mean the SSRIs?
Keep it thing. In your
yeah.
body.
That make
you want to get it out of there. Mm-hmm. It causes, it's a contributor to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, Lou Gehrig's, a list of diseases actually could be mitigated tremendously by just changing the diet. I have posted on Facebook and other places pictures of horses that eat flax, and it ain't pretty seeing yellow fat disease in a horse.
Wow.
They get it very commonly. Anyone who has a horse and feeds them flax disease, they're killing their horse off really quickly. And I've got pictures of carcasses of horses. I'll send it to you. I'll send a picture to you after the show.
So what foods increase serotonin levels, which we don't want?
It works with, let's see.
All the poofers, right?
You have to be careful sometimes of even fruits and foods because they will have it in. For instance, dates have it in, but dates have other valuable things in it if you eat them at the right time and don't take too many of them. But the sheikhs in the Middle East used to feed their harems dates because they could control them better that way. Because serotonin also is a controlling chemical as well, but it also leads to breakdowns, like a lot of these so-called multiple murders going on are actually serotonin reuptake inhibitors are behind them.
But what foods do people commonly eat that are giving them too much serotonin that they don't realize?
One of them is your omega-3 and omega-6 oils.
Okay, and
there's a lot of those out there.
All those different oils out there, the threes.
And particularly the rancid ones. You buy them at the supermarket, guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to be activating serotonin. Also, stress does it. Again, you get the bill from the IRS, there goes your serotonin level. You don't have to take a supplement.
Yeah, just send me
cortisol, serotonin, nitric oxide, all two of those I just mentioned, nitric oxide and serotonin, are supposed to be good for you. And now you will find a lot of people agreeing with me on serotonin. And on nitric oxide, a lot of people were saying that was good. It was the miracle hormone of 1992, you know, the hormone of the decade, and it cratered really rapidly. You don't see too many scientists championing it, only certain health food people I won't mention that still think it's great.
Yeah. Could Adam describe the glaucoma jaw massage thing?
Yes. Reach right under the jaw. There's like a corner. I think it's called a ramus, maybe, or maybe that's an adjoining part there. But you go into the corner and rub along on the outside of the jaw and feel if it's hard or not. The harder it is, the more pressure is generated there. And then just rub on that and massage gently. And even to release an area, like when people push reflex points, they sedate them, but they don't really cure anything or make a remedy. But when you pull on an area or scratch an area or tap it, you get a totally different result. But pulling gently on that area in the flesh there, being careful because you can pull on the jugular veins there and pass out. So you go gently into that area. And anyway, that tends to release pressure out of the eyeball for glaucoma.
That's pretty fun.
And also you can do exercises. The Bates exercise work on more than just getting your vision back. They work on protecting yourself from both glaucoma, which is a problem with the gallbladder meridian, and cataracts, which is a problem with the urinary bladder meridian. Why? The urinary bladder meridian ends at the canthus of the eye, right at the eyebrow on the inside by the nose, and the gallbladder meridian is right at the outside of the eyebrow.
You know what, Adam, overall, just big picture, I've never found that I've ever, I've ever really regretted finding a sore spot somewhere in my body and working with it a little bit. It always seems to benefit me.
You know, there's only one time it doesn't, and you wouldn't do this anyway. It's when, if I get an injury where I hit myself at a point, and I rub that, I make it worse.
Yeah.
But any point that you didn't bump, that's the exit point for that pain where you did bump it, and that backs it up. It's like if I hit a bullet wound, where it goes in, it's a small hole. Where it goes out, it's a large hole in the back.
Yeah.
So you want to work on the back to make that hole smaller. But if you work the small hole in the front, you make it bigger. So never work where the injury is. Always find the sore points where it goes to. And usually it goes to the opposite end. If I hit my fist and hurt my fist, I go to the elbow and I knock the elbow and start hitting that.
Yeah.
And that takes care and the fist all loosens up. That's the simple form of how reflex works.
Yeah.
The energy, like if I have a circle, a hoop, and I hit one end of the hoop, it goes 180 degrees around and back again. It doesn't go 360 degrees around the circle because it meets its own end. And that's why they have found through tensegrity that I can have a peroneus problem. It affects my fascia lata. I can have a brachialis problem, and it affects my shoulders. And they're not even connected by any nerves.
They're not. Yeah,
that's
know.
That's what reflexology. You know. The tensegrity explains a lot. I'm not talking about the. I think the one some of the tensegrity exercises they teach are BS. But a lot of the Rolfers have found that tensegrity works and explains a lot of their workings.
I've sure learned a lot about my body when I go through these every now and then little performance things, and I can see when I'm doing body work with Will that And he shows me how the right side is affecting the left side, right? So he said, this is the side you want to really work on, your right side. And that's what's affecting this piriformis on the in the left buttocks, you know.
And particularly in a twisting injury. Yeah, because if I punch something with my fist and I hurt my fist, it goes down into the, if I do it with my left hand, I'm left-handed, it goes down into the left buttock. If someone punches me in the left shoulder, it rotates over to the right, and I get an injury there. With the piriformis muscle, of course, you have four types of piriformis muscles. You have the one that is solid and goes above the muscle. You have the solid one below, and you have the split one that is above and below, and also the one that's internal and below as well. And so the one that's in the middle can squeeze directly onto the sciatic nerve, and the other ones usually are a knot in the muscle. One can be released by just releasing the knot in the muscle, and the other one, you do something to find out why it's swelling, and then the sciatic nerve isn't pinched anymore by it or squeezed.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a tricky business. So I've noticed a lot of connections between neck and this piriformis too, and so we're going to do another body work thing on Thursday and start working on the neck. And it's so great when these things happen, because you can release a lot of stuff that you didn't even know was kind of hanging out. You know, it's really kind of fun. Even though
amazingly with reflexology, it follows geometry. Yeah. If you look at the scapula, they're two triangles. If you look at the hip bones, they're two triangles. The piriformis is on a hip bone. Hmm. You simply go up to the other triangle in the exact position it is, and you can release the piriformis from the scapula.
From the scapula.
Yeah, yeah, look at the two. See, you got four triangles in your body. Two in the upper one, in the first, in the what's called growth zone one, and then you have one in growth zone three. So that's why one growth zone can affect another. So say I have a pain right above the hip on the right side. I rub there, and I can actually make it worse. But if I go to the pain and find a painful spot on the scapula in the exact same place on the triangle and rub that, I release the hip.
And where's the scapula?
The scapula are your wing bones. Oh, those triangles that, you know, you move back and forth. They're highly tied into the heart. Many people can avoid heart attacks by just doing a scapula massage. If you can find someone that gives a good scapula massage. Oh, it's the two triangles, you know, that form your behind your shoulders that allow you to swing your arms from side to side.
It's on your back.
Exactly. You know, the teres minor, teres major, all those muscles attached to it. And it's your wing bone, it's called.
You mean, let's see, you like your chicken wing bone?
Yeah, it's similar. It's like it looks like actually not like a wishbone. It looks like they're two triangles, and your hips are two triangles too. So if you look at a skeleton, you'll see two obvious triangles right below the scapula, and then you go down and you'll see the two right at the pelvis.
So I could get this little cane hook thing I have and work the scapulas on both sides?
Just sure can. Any that places? Scapula release works wonders.
Oh, yeah.
And for the hip.
Yeah.
If cool. You want to release the scapula, you have a pain in the shoulder, you work the hip. Yeah. It's exactly the opposite, because the distal point, reflexology isn't about imminent points. It's about distal points. And the only way you should use a point directly is during its time. If at lung time, I want to work on my lungs or the muscles in the deltoids that are responsible for the deltoids only at lung time. If I work on that directly any other time of the day, I cause a problem. But if I work on it for the other 22 hours of the day, then I get benefits.
Wow.
So working all the distal points.
So fascinating. On the phone, who's this?
Yes, this is Ann. I'm calling from Kona, Hawaii.
What's your first name?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. How are things in Kona? We love Kona.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday it was like 81 degrees. It was beautiful. The breeze was
wonderful.
God,
have a Merry Christmas.
And I saw seven turtles on the beach.
Wow.
That I went to in Kailua. Yeah, it was nice.
Anne lives on the... Anne lives on the big... I just want to tell people so they know that Anne lives on the big island of Hawaii. They call it the Big Island, where Kona is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What can we do for you?
Yeah, you know, my doctor, I have inflammation, I have Crohn's, He said I should be taking at least a minimum of 5,000 units of fish oil every day and try to work up. And then I listened to Adam and I listened to Brian Peskin. They said, oh, you're going to kill yourself if you do that. And so they said, take the parent essential oils. But then I just don't know what to do because they make it sound like fish oil is so important. And I'm just baffled.
Yeah. Baffled in Kona. Yes.
Here's the way to look at it. If you look up DHA, all you're going to find is good things. There's no bad research out there, except some that say it doesn't work at all. But put in yellow fat disease, and what's the primary villain? It's always DHA. Look at all those crocodiles dying in Africa. National Geographic and other organizations are desperately trying to hide the fact, saying that it's toxins, that it's algae-eating fish that have got in the area, and the carp eat the algae-eating fish, and the alligators, the crocodiles eat the carp, and they die horrible deaths where all of their organs are fused together within a matter of weeks. Now, they're much more sensitive to yellow fat disease. Some authorities think we're the most susceptible, but alligators and crocodiles are both much more sensitive to yellow fat disease.
Okay, but talk to her directly about the fish oils and what her doctor's saying and what you believe would be a better solution, maybe.
Well, heaven forbid me contradict.
No, I understand. You're not giving medical advice, but just she's asking for your opinion, though. Go ahead and give her your opinion.
Well, frankly, let's take the whole. I can criticize the whole profession as a whole, and the ones that are saying fish oil is good for you are full of hooey. It's as simple as that.
You're just not buying
yellow
it.
Fat disease. Well, here's how fish oils work. You know how they used to stop inflammation back in the old days? They gave radiation treatments. It stopped it right away. For how long? And then it came back more. So you needed more radiation. And pretty soon you got radioactive poisoning. And the same thing happens with yellow fat disease. It gives you an immediate relief effect. But find out what it is. The oil goes rancid immediately. It's the byproducts of fish oil. Find out what those are and you'll be shocked. They're the same kind of things that you get when you burn food and eat that stuff in your barbecue. It's not the fish oil that works because oil, even if it's totally fresh and vacuum-packed and you put it in your mouth and your body is going at 98.6 degrees and your stomach's up to 101 in a healthy stomach, you're going to make those oils rancid in your own body. Or you better get them out of there within a matter of hours. In the same way, Dirk Pearson said a regular seed oil would go rancid in your refrigerator in one day. So imagine how fast a fish oil will go rancid. And if you read Life Extension by Dirk Pearson, he says people are crazy to take DHA. But now they want to sell the stuff because they can't use the oil for paint anymore. And the oil industry has taken over that gig for them. So now they have to sell it. But look at the old research, Dirk Pearson and all of the classic ones and the medical research, and you'll find a completely different story. The DHA and the so-called ALA, the omega-3 oils, are not essential. Linoleic and linoleic acid have never been proven to be essential. And yet, who made linoleic or omega-3 essential? The World Health Organization. Oh, we can believe everything they say.
So, and I know the Peskin is like these parent essential oils, but they're also PUFAs in a sense, aren't they? They're the same.
Well, you can get, I mean, he's got his Stephen Huber has are not, except for flaxseed oil is the only one I have a quarrel with. The other ones actually have very few of the omega-3s in.
The way Stevens are made, it's totally different from most oils. But I agree with you. I wouldn't do the
flax. And his oils, even if they weren't made, they're fine,
they're
except
okay.
for the flaxseed oil.
But so let's go back to then Ann in Kona, the great big island. So what are some ideas that you could give her, not giving medical advice, but just rather than take the fish oil from her inflammation, do something else?
Find out where she's getting serotonin. estrogen. God forbid anyone who takes natural estrogen or any of the things Suzanne Summers recommends, God forbid, you're in trouble right away. That's why women are dying so soon.
Are you taking any of that stuff, Ann? What else are you taking that could be causing the inflammation?
No, I just take my multivitamin. I have, and I take like CoQ10, some spirulina, bone up, stuff like that, you know, for my calcium, because I'm 68.
But you still got ongoing inflammation, is what?
She just named several things that cause inflammation.
Okay,
so
go ahead and tell her.
Be careful of your supplements.
Tell her. Go.
Well, supplements now, 98% of them are GMOs. You check into it. Don't believe me. Look up. You see, people look at the vitamins for the vitamin companies. Pretend you're a wholesaler and you want to buy it from a wholesale company, and you'll find they're all biotech companies. Life Extension magazine that's in health food stores, it's a biotech organization, including all their money goes into biotech. And people have no idea what the biotech people have pulled on our food and manufacturing and supplement industry.
So, Ann, what Adam's saying, that some of these things you're taking could be causing the inflammation.
Especially if she's taking iron, God forbid.
Maybe you want to try, you know, it's possible, this is not medical advice, but possible just to get off of supplements and just eat organic, good Kona food and see if your inflammation doesn't go away.
And be careful of green foods. Strangely, the very things we say are healthy for us in green foods can cause inflammation because plant attack chemicals are there. Plants do not like us eating their arm. They present a fruit and say, here's my wonderful fruit. I want you to eat it. So you eat the seeds, and the seeds go through your anus, and I can grow more babies. But then we take their arm and eat their arm and call it healthy. And actually, if you look at all the lectins and all the phytates and all the things in the in both the seeds and the green part of the plant, we're cannibalizing them. So they don't say, oh, eat me. I'm here for you to eat. They're into survival. And if you want to eat the parts that procreate, for God's sake, they say, you're not doing this. We gave you our fruit. We gave you our cucumbers. We gave you our tomatoes. We gave you all the fruit on the tree. We gave you all these fructo vegetables, which are really nothing but botanical fruit. But you insist on eating your arms and legs.
So the spirulina Ann's taking could be a problem?
Well, actually, spirulina can be beneficial if you eat it at night.
Because that's a superfood, right?
I don't see any problem with inflammation. Yeah.
So, Ann, what do you think? You have some ideas?
Even though it has DHA, it has other things that are beneficial.
Has this been helpful?
Cure cancer.
Ann, has this been helpful at all, or are you more confused?
Well, I feel like it's churning it up, and I don't know how to let go of the problem that I need to take some kind of oil in my body. So
right. How about just some olive oil or coconut oil?
Excellent. Butter.
Or butter. You like butter?
Butter is anti-stress and calms the intestines down, too. It's anti-inflammatory.
Can you get some grass-fed raw butter there? I'm sorry. I got a bad connection.
The Irish Gold, you can get that anywhere.
That's fine. That's a great butter. Yeah, I mean, it's not raw, but it's a good product, the Kerrygold. Yeah, it's a good product. Maybe you would experiment with getting off.
I need to get it tested again when I get back. I'm going to go back to the mainland in January. I'm going to get tested again. And so for this problem of inflammation. There's one marker that was very, very high.
Yeah, but, you know, the most important thing is how you feel, my dear. Don't worry about the numbers. You know, play with your food. That's my suggestion. Stop some things. Play around. You might get some results because you don't care what the test says. You care how you feel, right?
That's a hard thing, yeah. Yeah, to trust yourself.
That's right. There you go. Go out there and talk to them turtles. They'll show you what to do, man.
You know, the ultimate test is the person's voice and their health. A person that sounds energetic. Look at the KISS guy, Gene Simmons. Look how energetic he is. And he holds his hand out, doesn't shake at all because of his lifestyle and his appreciation of himself.
Yeah.
Learn to appreciate yourself. And if you are not jumping out of bed in the morning when you wake up, jumping out and doing a handspring, there's something wrong. That's easy to tell.
So this could just all be about trusting yourself, Annie. Just, you know, I'm just conjecturing here, but it could be. This could be a test, you know. Let's see if Anne can trust herself and start to make her own decisions and not go by some tests.
God bless you, Patrick. Thank you.
Well, may the blessings be to you, my dear. And say hi to the turtles.
I will.
All right, sweetie.
I'm going to go bodyboarding today.
There you go. Now you got it. Thanks. Bye.
And by the way, we are omnivores. Omnivores. So we can really eat things. And
everything.
Every once in a while, you have an exception to the rule. So if it really, that's the test, Patrick, just like you said. How does it feel with you? There is a guy on the internet says, goitrogens? I'm not afraid of them. I've eaten a head of raw cabbage for 27 years being a vegan, and I'm healthy. So I'm not going to knock that. The guy looked healthy when I saw him on YouTube, so I'm not going to tell him to stop. But normally, if I ate a head of cactus, a head of cabbage, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
So trust your own body.
Please ask Adam if using castor oil on eyebrows and eyelashes will produce thickening. Huh. I don't remember hearing that one.
I've heard that, and I don't have any practical experience with it. Mm-hmm. So castor oil is beneficial outside of your body for a variety of things. Inside, you have to be very cautious, sometimes taking a drop of it. Emmanuel Ravisi did numerous experiments because it was supposed to work on cancer and things. He couldn't find any effects on it. And inside, it can cause micro-bleeding, much like an aspirin can. But outside your body, it's the palm of Christi. Edgar Cayce wrote about it over and over, and it's certainly not going to hurt your eyebrows, and I would certainly experiment with it.
And I've used it in my eyes for years, pure castor oil, and my eyes love it. So that's an Ayurveda thing. Pretty magical stuff. Make sure it's pure and organic and the real deal, because you don't know where some of this stuff is from. Would you please ask Adam to go over quickly about the facts and fiction surrounding young females needing iron. This from Mona. Young females needing iron.
It's not that you don't need any iron, but women live longer because they menstruate, and the menstruation gets rid of the excess iron. Iron is one of the major causes of problems. Why they removed it from vitamins, I was warning people when I was managing health food stores back in the early 80s, and no one listened to me. And then suddenly it became popular, and all the vitamin companies had an ironless vitamin suddenly. And I had a man one time, I was taken to him, he was supposed to be on his deathbed. He had like weeks to live, the doctors had given him. And he was totally constipated, could not go to the bathroom at all. So suddenly it occurred to me when he said the last stool he had was black. I said, you're not taking an iron supplement, are you? He said, oh, yeah, I am. I said, it's not ferrous sulfate, is it? Oh, yeah. I don't know. The doctor prescribed it. I said, well, they usually get you the sulfate one because they want you to buy it out of the pharmacy instead of the health food store, because the health food store would never put that form. I went in his cabinet. I found ferrous sulfate. I told him to stop taking it, and he lived.
Oh, wow. Anna Bergstrom, a few more. Yes, No, Maybe, his book, solartiming.com, and then SunSync Nutrition. And the SunSync is a $99 for a lifetime. Go ahead and do that for the holidays and support Adam and Vibrant Gal so they can go to the farmer's market and buy organic pumpkins. I don't know what I'm talking about. please ask Adam regarding the Pa Da La Jing exercises that Patrick has been talking about, it, where you put one leg up and one leg down, and then the slapping on the inside of the elbows, which is one of the things that this fellow recommends, at the back of the knees to improve one's well-being. Is it because of the stimulation of the meridian points in those areas? And why does the body show a sha or red and bruised spots if one has a heart problem and then they seem to dissipate? That's what it did for me, Adam. When I did the inside of the elbows and the slapping, when I first did the right side, which I think he said is the heart, I had this big red thing that came out, but I kept slapping it, and it went away. He calls it sha, and this fellow wants to know what you think about that and what it could be.
You can toughen the body by doing that, definitely. When Master Chen was at Wudang Mountain, they had to punch trees until they were black and blue all over, and eventually they stopped doing it, you know. He said he would go to bed and cry. He was in so much pain from punching trees all day.
Wow.
They would make him basically do what's called torture. You ever see some of those martial arts movies where they remember that machine that's this hard, like wooden machine, and it punches you and you have to duck it, like in the old Jackie Chan movies? Those, they use those. So it's a way of toughening the body, and it can be done where you can kick through walls and all that kind of stuff with your you know, we have flesh that can be so soft and so hard. The trick is to get flesh that can go from soft to hard. A friend of mine took martial arts in San Francisco, and his teacher went up to him and said, make a bicep. So he did. It was nice and hard. He said, now loosen it. It was still hard. Then he took a muscle, feel mine. It was even harder. Then he said, now feel it. It was like jello. He pointed to my friend and said, ignorant muscle. He pointed to his smart muscle.
Oh, so you want it to go? You want it to go hard when soft, right?
Yes, you want it to be able to go hard and soft. That's why when you run the central meridian with your hand, you can weaken a person. If you don't, it's a problem. Now you can have defenses against that, but you're supposed to unzip a person downward and then move your hand upward and zip them up.
Zip them back.
If they don't have that function and they either cannot be weakened or cannot be strengthened, then they have a serious problem.
So just in general, the Qigong kind of slapping or whatever you do, in general, it does strengthen the body. That's been my experience with, you know, slapping when you talked about the pressure and the heartburn and all that. It really helped when I slapped my little colon silly and slap my small intestine and stomach.
Especially certain areas. You have to be careful around the heart and places like that where a cupping action is better, because otherwise you can actually loosen the supporting connections between those. But that's also caused because of yellow fat disease, weakening the collagen and the elastin and all those chemicals that are necessary that are being weakened by polyunsaturated fatty acid. And by the way, if that lady doesn't want to spend money for my yellow fat disease books, I have written numerous blogs on One Radio Network, and using your search function, you'll be able to find
a lot of them. So for John's question on the idea, overall, this idea that a red kind of shock can come out, does that resonate for you? That seems reasonable?
Well, it can be beneficial. You can overdo. And what I would suggest is muscle testing to see how it's working for your body. In other words, slap it, then have someone test you. And if it weakens you, it's probably not doing you any good. But if it strengthens you, keep going. And if it strengthens you, you go up to your point that you can take, because the maximum immunity, you want something without breaking you. Like if I can lift 100 pounds and do it to maximum stress, that's good for me. But if 101 pounds is going to pull a ligament or something, it's not good for me. And usually muscle testing gives you warning of that. If you want to do it scientifically, obviously it's working really great for you, and you probably have a really good sense of what your limits are. And many people do. They know when to stop. They know how much they can take, and that's usually enough.
Yeah.
So if you slap yourself and it gets red and it doesn't bother you, as a kid, I used to collect black and blue marks. We went out in the woods and we would see who could get the more black and blue marks. And I've counted as many as 60 black and blue marks on my legs and lower body before. I'm still seem to be okay, despite the warnings I got about that.
John also says, what about thumping the thymus area to improve one's immunity? Do you have an opinion on that?
Yes. What you do is you take your cupped hands and beat to the side like a gorilla, and that will automatically improve the thymus. And by the way, when I used to read Hans Selye and how you could destroy your thymus gland, it would scare the crap out of me that one accident or one major trauma could make it go completely away. I forgot to read the part where he said you could grow it back again. So don't worry if you lose your entire thymus gland. If you play it right, you eat on time, you eat the right foods, you avoid serotonin and estrogen and all those, you can grow back your thymus gland, and you can make your entire body into a thymus gland, just like a baby. A baby is born all thymus gland. There's no separate. And thymus, it's the fourth chakra, thymus. So respiration works best for that. Breathing in that 15 seconds and 15 seconds and four times through a minute, there it is.
Where is the thymus gland? Is that where the gorillas are pounding on their chest?
Exactly, right in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the chest, and it usually is a lot larger. A baby is born all thymus gland, then it starts to shrink up more and more toward the chest.
So maybe we should all do the gorilla thing in the morning, right?
You know, it's very healthy. Swami Nitty Gritty used to recommend getting up and start pounding your chest like that on the sides. Mm-hmm. Not when people do what they call thymus tapping and hit it with a fist. That's not a good idea. There you want to tap it with an open tapotement. But when you go to the sides, that's fine. Hit them with the fist. That part of the rib cage is meant to take that type of pressure. A gorilla knows it, so do the gorilla thump.
Also, speaking of thumping, here's a little trick for you. In some Qigong teachers talk about the best way to avoid getting hemorrhoids is to thump the top of your head, right, in the center there. And it's really kind of fun. You can do that when you're on the toilet. If you're just having any kind of pressure of not wanting to come out, just a little bit of resistance, just thump the top of your head, boy. It just pops right out.
That's helpful because we have a whole set of other chakras in the head that begins in the center of the forehead to the medulla oblongata. The chakra system for the ovum is in the skull. It's on the outside of the skull. The chakra system for the sperm is in the inside. It's like the spine, which is internal to the body. We have an exoskeleton in the skull that is the ovum's chakras. And the sperm, you notice Kundalini? It's nothing but the sperm wiggling its little tail, swimming along.
And speaking of that, the top of the head, if you'd like to learn one way that you can begin to learn soul travel, we talk about, is to, in meditation, contemplation, imagining the top of your head opening just by your imagination. And you do that long enough, and you will begin to leave your body more easily, because that's where generally soul will often leave its body, through the top of the head, or sometimes through the third eye. So you can actually visualize that opening. Kind of funny.
That is the ideal place. Why sleeping, we tend to, unless we direct it, we tend to leave through the navel.
Yeah.
And that's not the best place to leave.
It's
the silver cord.
Very messy down there.
But through the top of the head, that's exactly where you want to go.
Very messy down there. Very messy.
And that is the opening in the skull, which is about the fourth chakra. So you can feel the chakras in the back. There's just before you get to the medulla oblongata, there's like a ridge in the skull.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel there, that's the seventh chakra. Then you'll find a ski slope right above that,
mm-hmm.
and that's the sixth chakra. You press that and you can increase the sound current. I actually had a friend who was annoyed with the ringing in his ears, even though it's beneficial for you. And so he tried to get he invented a machine with a 40-pound pull and tried to pull his skull back into alignment.
And he was just
it'll
hearing.
It also give you migraines, which is
hearing,
a sign of being at that level.
And little did he know, he was just hearing the sound current as the sound of God, right?
Exactly. What Swami Nitty Gritty used to tell people when they had that, he said, look, it took me 18 years
to hear that.
To get that, and I wouldn't work on it to help you if I could.
I'll tell you, about 4 or 5 years ago, I started hearing some very interesting sound, and this is before I really got it. Long ago, I think it was 10 years ago, before I really understood more about the sound current. And I would actually be driving around my neighborhood because I was sure somebody was doing something that was causing this sound. Until I figured out that, oh, wait a minute, no, this is just God talking to me. Okay. And then you just go into it. It's really fascinating. Hey, you want to
know
it's
such.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's such a shame that one of your former guests, Liam Schiff, actually committed suicide because of the sound current raging in his brain. He didn't understand what it was.
He didn't understand.
You remember him, Liam Schiff, realist?
Yeah, so he went bonkers because of that, because he didn't understand there was God knocking, saying, listen to me.
Yeah, he was a good guy, too. I was a friend of his on Facebook, and it was regrettable.
Here's a quick little story from one of my teachers, Paul Twitchell, about the opening in the top of the head. Paul Twitchell writes in one of his books is that years ago, the Christians understood that soul left the body in the top of the head, right? So what they did with the newborn babies, they would give them a ceremony, and guess what they called it? Baptism. And what they did was is they took the little babies and they poured this holy water over the top of their head to keep the opening open, right? So soul could continue to go and talk to God whenever it wanted, because they knew that. They knew that. And then they would have the confirmation, right, when they were 12, which confirmed the opening in the top of the head to stay open. Isn't it interesting how the Christian church turned that into washing the sins away?
Yep. And no one ever baptized the navel.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. The only thing that's new in the world is the history that you don't know. Huey P. Long once said, so be careful what you believe, what they tell you. So you want to leave that opening open. Okay. We got to go. But some couple things here. Eating pumpkin seeds aren't good for your prostate. So
even though they have unsaturated fatty acids in, they are good for your prostate at the middle of the day.
I thought so.
Yep. I've seen people get rid of their prostate problems with that.
Yeah, because Stephen Huer has this Andreas seed oils, and this is pumpkin seeds. Yeah, that's ground with no temperature. I mean, no temperature. They've tested it. There's no oxidation. And they put them in the Myron glass. Guys, if you got a prostate thing, man, I would do some of that. I would, in a heartbeat. So pumpkin seeds are good, right? Is it the zinc in the pumpkin seeds, or what is it?
You know, they're not really sure, but zinc is one of the things in the pumpkin seeds. I've actually seen a person I think I told you the story. A guy came into the store he was taking opioids for prostate pain. And I recommended the pumpkin seeds, and he thought it was funny, and he made fun of me and everything, but he bought a bag anyway. He calls me up a half hour later and said, my pain is completely gone. Hold some more of those bags of pumpkin seeds.
So what do you think's going on with all of this, quote, prostate cancer that people, I get emails all the time, and they get diagnosed with this thing, and they want to cut them, and what do you think's going on with this? This test.
Father trauma. It's the GMAX muscle. The gluteus maximus is the muscle to work, and that's the one that prostate's directly connected to.
Up there in the piriformis thing?
No. This is actually the gluteus maximus.
The butt thing.
The butt muscle. The one where you lie to do a kinesiological test. You lie the person flat on the floor, and then they lift their leg up as high as they can, bent, and then you push it down. If you can push it down, you probably have a prostate problem, and a woman has a uterine problem.
Oh, you mean if you could push the leg down?
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to. You should be able to hold it up like that. And it's not like you overwhelm a person. They don't have to be an athlete, but that shouldn't ratchet down or just be weak and be mushy. It should be firm. You touch it and start to press down. It should resist completely. You can always overwhelm it if you're not an athlete, but that's not the purpose of kinesiological testing.
So the different exercises we do in yoga to keep a nice booty firm and kind of, you know, kind of attractive, that's also working on the prostate.
Yep. Exercises like hydrants, they call them, and the squats the wrong way I was talking about.
Yeah.
Those help too, where you – actually, most weightlifters use the use the gluteus muscles. And you need them all. They all have to do with sexual health. Gluteus medius works on the seminal vesicles. Mm-hmm. Gluteus minimus has its part – to a minimum part, just like it's minimum. And those muscles are sexual muscles, the booty muscles. Also, the muscles between the legs, the orgasm muscles are the adductors between the legs. So those can be tested to find out how a person's sex life is working. But the prostate pretty much ties in directly to the gluteus maximus.
The gluteus max, which is the booty, right? The booty.
The big booty muscle.
Booty muscle. And so squatting is good for that, right?
Running actually helps too. Yeah. Walking won't do a thing for the gluteus maximus, but running will, and standing on one leg is a good exercise for the gluteus maximus. Yeah.
You know what I do when I'm throwing the ball to Doodle when she's after the ball? I like to stand on one leg, right? And then bring the other leg up as high as I can, bending over, right? And boy, that'll strengthen that booty thing too. Can you picture that? So you got your left leg, and then your right leg is way up in the air, and you're bending over, and you do that without falling over. And man, that,
I can, and I think that's excellent.
Well,
exercise.
I know, man, that booty just goes woo, man. You must go out. Next thing you know, you got to be careful. You go out dancing, you know, start drinking martinis.
Most people have a weak gluteus, the whole gluteus group, simply because of the chair.
The chair, yeah, we sit so much.
Yeah, we sit too much, we drive too much, and we don't walk that much or run that much.
Hmm. You know what I like to do?
You know, primitive man, so-called primitive man, the ones that ate animals,
yeah.
They had the ability to run in heat for hours. So a gazelle could be faster than them, but they would keep running behind them, and finally the gazelle was overheated, dropped over dead. The person would do a little prayer over the animal before he killed it, and then over his shoulder walk miles back to his tribe to eat the gazelle. Mm-hmm. And they ate the fat first, by the way.
I wonder what it is down there in African Americans, you know, and the great booties that they have genetically. Maybe it's the running or the walking that they did for generations, huh?
A lot of the running did it, because that's one way to do the gluteus. By the way, I've been interested in Africa for a long time,
yeah,
because Edgar Cayce's prediction that Africa was going to play a major role in world history.
Oh,
so
I didn't
this
know
lady
that.
They called in for Swahili, since about 100 million people speak that language, I'm interested.
Oh, really? I didn't know Edgar Cayce talked about Africa as being an up-and-comer.
He said it was going to be, keep your eye on Africa. That was going to determine the fate of the world eventually.
I'll be darned. You know, also, there was a lady we had on, we did a show about building the booty, and she said that when you put things on your head, right, you know how they do in Africa, to walk, and that's how I like, if I get a big package, and I'll put it on my head, you know, going all the way down to the house, because it's a long way, she says that builds the booty as well. So maybe that's another thing. Genetically, how those people have great booties. Yeah.
Excellent. I saw a woman in Mexico, two big bushels she's carrying with her arms, and a giant bushel on the top of her head walking
crazy.
Down her.
It's like not crazy. But I found it's the safest way to carry a heavy box or something, is put it right on your head. And boy, I think it's a lot better than trying to just carry it in front of you. Not
so you can do that. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah, I can do it. I just put
Whoa.
Like I get some heavy meat, a box like 40, 50 pounds for Doodle, you know, the grass-fed meat that come from UPS. I'll put that sucker on my head and walk down to the house, and man, it's cool. It's fun.
Amazing. That's great.
It's not that difficult. It's as long as you can get it on top, you know, as long as you can lift it up and get it up there, it's a pretty easy way to carry stuff. Because I couldn't carry it in front of me. I mean, I just couldn't do it. Well, Adam.
By the way, here's a trivia. Who was the first to say that the dog is man's best friend? Frederick of Russia.
Frederick of Russia. His dog is
man's best friend. His greyhound.
No kidding. And you know, if a dog spelled backwards is what?
Yeah, God.
What does that tell you? I don't know. There's something going on there. Well, Adam, you're so fun to talk to. It's just an honor to have you as our friend and working here with One Radio Network. And so we appreciate it. We appreciate all your work and your blog.
Appreciate you having me on, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, it's just you're the bomb. Adam the bomb. So give folks, you have two websites, solartiming.com, SunSync Nutrition. And can they, do you give out your email to people email you?
Yes, Adam at solartiming.com.
At solartiming.com.
So I do that on Facebook too, because their particular messenger, whatever they call it, crashes my computer every time I use it. So I stop taking private messages, and I have about 51 of them backed up.
So what's your guys' goal is to have a school there in Montecito? That's what you want to do, so people can come and learn? That's your goal?
We would love to have that, yeah, where we actually have a place in person to teach people instead of attempting, especially my my body dowsing method. That's really hard to teach over the air, but you can learn it. I have a book available for that and a video that they can kind of combine it, and you can learn it. I have a few people that's figured out how to do it and are having success.
Have you looked in, is it possible to do some of this through like webinars, or is it too difficult?
We're thinking of doing, we're working on ways to do that and ways to present more videos, because we definitely want to get, keep up with the times and go more video graphic since it's happening.
Yeah, well, we're going to do that too. And I think we're going to start with Andy and then do you and then have a split screen and real soon. I mean, we got to do it because everybody likes to look at something, even if it's just looking at each other talking, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah,
we're going there too. We're figuring out how to do that. So,
all right.
So be ready. Comb your hair. Oh my God.
Okay. What I have.
That's right, what
I don't have a problem there.
What I have. All right, my friend. Thanks a lot. We love you, and we love Vibrant Gal. Take care.
Love you too.
And
bye.
And may the blessings be. See you, kiddo. And I love you guys. And we're going to talk with Dr. Mark Cercas. He's out of Brazil. Hydrogen, a lot of cool stuff. I think you're going to enjoy this, so we're looking forward to it. That's going to happen tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, a quick little plug here. We have a very special deal going on with our rebounders. You can get the ultimate rebounder, what they call the ultimate rebounder, and you can look at it, Rebound Air, that's retails for $429. It's called the Quarterfold as well. They're selling these. We can sell it for the same price, $339, for the next 10 days. They're out of the classic rebounder, which is what we call the half fold, which we normally sell for $329. They are out of these for 10 days, so they don't want to have people go without. So they're saying, okay, well, we'll sell you the quarter fold for the same price. Boy, if you've been thinking about getting a rebounder, these quarter folds are the bomb. These are really solid, even better than the half fold. And I love them. And get yourself one of these quarter folders called the Ultimate Rebounder for $329 on One Radio Network. Just click an order, and I'll just keep doing it until they tell us to stop. So that's something you can do. I love you guys, and may the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.